Kyle Brusted Nordman at 4:15 leading into the NFL draft here live in Green Bay. The buzz is palpable. You can start to feel the energy outside of our homes. Everyone heading into the NFL draft. We have Mark Tauscher versus Brian Bulaga in a grill-off, courtesy of Pit Boss. And we're excited now to be joined by someone who knows them very well. It's Jason Wilde. Jason, welcome into Kyle Brusted Nordman.
That is, it's interesting because our friend Gabe Neitzel, who does play-by-play for Bucks games, has an extensive play-by-play resume, is doing play-by-play for the cook-off. And when I heard him mention that Tausch was having a flame-up and there was some burning occurring, that's when it really got my attention.
Yeah, I heard the flame-up, too, and the burning. And some people like a charred brat. I do not.
Well, have you tasted your co-host in Mark Tauscher's food before? Because he was very confident going into this cook-off. But right now, it seems like he may be struggling just a smidge.
Yeah, you know, I love Tausch.
I know.
Kyle Wallace, same.
doing well.
But
couple things. One, he has banned his and his wife is an amazing human being. I love Sarah.
Oh,
I think the world
on
of
your
her.
Show.
And he banned her now twice from using the oven.
Oh wow!
Now again, we all have history of making mistakes, whether it's in the kitchen or elsewhere. But I think the biggest mistake is to ever ban your wife from doing anything. That is not something I'm on board with.
Couldn't he teach her to use a timer on the phone?
Like, yeah, coach her up if you feel any
bad. He just got frustrated.
But he's not good enough to – those who can do, those who can't coach. In his case, though, he can't coach or do.
But he's supposedly coaching all the time before he leaves.
Well, he's a fine coach for the teams he coaches. But coaching up cooking – I think we're seeing he has no right to be doing that. Yeah. Secondly, he was trash-talking Brian Bulaga from the jump. Mm. I don't know about you, Ben. I don't know about you, Brad. You know, punters I know are notorious trash-talkers.
Mm.
I'm sure you played with some trash-talkers during your time and against them. I don't believe in that personally because I think all you're doing is setting yourself up for if it goes awry – you look like a real jackwagon.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I spent some time listening to Brian Bulaga and Gabe Neitzel on a little chalk talk this morning.
Mm.
And it seems as if Tausch was – Brian didn't say this, but it felt like there was a little, like, not bully, but he really was the real prankster, the brains behind – him and Cliffy were the brains behind, like, making life hell for some of these younger offensive linemen coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And but again, the best revenge is living well and taking the guy's job.
Hey, powerful.
What Brian did.
Powerful. Now, Jason, this is the closer we get, and we did one of our segments over under where it was a list of the last 10 offensive players the Packers have drafted in the first round.
Now, you had to go back pretty far, rarely they pick offensive
players. Just what year do you think was the
– Are we not counting offensive linemen?
No, we are counting
all offense.
All offense.
Okay. So Rodgers was 05.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He was like halfway through the list.
Well, right.
You're giving him away, Kyle.
No. I know there's
He's
three
an
offensive –
encyclopedia.
There's three offensive linemen, and there's – obviously one more quarterback. So I was going to say 2000 with Bubba Franks.
1994.
Oh, even farther than that.
So who are the guys between 94 and 2000 with Bubba Franks that were drafted? Do you know?
That were first round offensive players.
Yep.
John Michaels in 96.
Yeah,
very
I didn't
good.
Know who. He sounded like a singer to me. John Michaels something.
So it's one of my favorite Ron Wolf stories because one of the things that I really like about people when they're accountable, right? It's on me, my fault, right? I even asked Matt LaFleur a question when we were doing our Q&A session up there about how he always starts with, well, it starts with me, and I need to do a better job on this. Ron Wolf tells a great story about the 96 draft. He is on the phone with Ray Lewis.
Oh, yes.
He is convinced that he is getting Ray Lewis from Miami. Obviously, becomes a Hall of Fame player. And then while he's on the phone with Ray Lewis, the Baltimore Ravens select Ray Lewis. And Ron Wolf, who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who traded for Brett Favre, who is the architect of the renaissance of the Green Bay Packers in the 1990s after 30 years of wandering in the wilderness, doesn't know who he's picking. and he randomly picks this offensive tackle, John Michaels from USC.
Come on, I mean, he
was on his board, certainly, right? It's not like he just guessed at the name, but he certainly didn't. He panicked, and he admits that freely. Wow. And John Michaels is a wonderful human being. He's a doctor now. He's a much better doctor than he was an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Did not know
then
his
Ross
name.
Verbo was in 97.
Yep.
So
yep,
they which was, again, we drafted an offensive lineman last year. He's not very good. Now we got to draft another one.
I guess so, yeah.
Vonnie Holiday was in 98, who was one of my favorites. The 99 first-round pick I am blanking on.
Don't know. 94 was another O-lineman. That was the last
Aaron
one.
Taylor from,
Aaron
that's
Taylor.
It.
Aaron Taylor
that's
from Notre Dame.
Now, impressive, Jason.
It doesn't mean.
I'm just old, Brad.
No, you're just brilliant.
It doesn't mean the Packers won't pick an offensive player, but the trends are the trends. And even when listening to Goody at the Combine, he talks about the philosophy that they have drafting defensive players and something they've been doing over the last 30 years. Forget RAS score. Forget whatever they use for their analytics. To me, it's not as deep of a wide receiver draft as it has been in the past.
Yep,
so
right.
I don't think they're going to trade up to go get a guy. And they last time they traded up
I want Teteroa McMillan. I will admit that.
I agree. But
he's
I think
so he's good, Jason.
He's going to be gone.
Yeah,
he'll be gone.
I hope he keeps saying that he doesn't watch film.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Keep dropping.
Yeah, I need people. Maybe no, let me not say that. I was going to say wasn't Michael Orr. Who was the offensive lineman who tried?
Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah.
Yes. So you need to get. He needs the gas mask. Do you think that's the key?
Yeah.
Send him one right now. Put it.
Track him down. He's here. We know he's here.
hey, Ted, I got something for you.
I just feel more and more like it's going to be a defensive end.
So I was talking to someone yesterday, and look, first of all, this is every draft is unpredictable. Okay, let's not act like this one is. Oh my God, it's unpredictable because they all are. But the conversation I was having was you look at the way these guys are all kind of clumped together. There's kind of these 17 or 18 guys that are truly first round picks, but there's not the kind of separation that there normally is from like 1 through 10 to 11 through 25, yeah, for example. And so there's a chance that on one team's board, Tet McMillan is 8. And if that's a team that needs a wide receiver and he's available, he's gone. But there's plenty of other teams that don't think as highly of him. And so maybe the way it falls, there is a chance that he's still there.
I mean, to your point, Shedeur Sanders on Mel Kiper's board is 5. On, I believe it's Matt Miller, who joined you guys.
Jim Matt Molly, but yes.
25.
Well, I like how Wooly like peeks out from his little elbow there to make sure his show gets the props.
That's
that
a
it
huge
deserves.
Variance between
right.
two very
Shamar
well.
Shamar Stewart is another one.
Yes.
I was talking to LaFleur. You know, we were up on stage, and he, of course, puts me on the spot. Well, Jason, who would you pick?
Of course.
And I said Teteroa McMillan.
Did he smile?
He did. But then he said, well, what if he's gone?
Oh, they talked about him.
And then I said Shamar Stewart. And he said, okay, that's a good pick. What if he's gone? And then there was this – he took a beat, as Tausch would say. And then he said, now you know what it's like to be in the draft room, because one of the worst things about draft day – is that you sit there, especially in the Packers' case, right, when you're picking 23rd and you're always picking in the 20s, you see a lot of guys that you really liked. And Matt said that he doesn't allow himself anymore to even start picturing guys in his offense because he ends up disappointed.
Smart.
He definitely should not picture anybody in the first round of his offense as a receiver. Tell you that much. Or a weapon.
Not unless he's going back in time to 2002.
So this is interesting because I was thinking about this. Do you think that Matt LaFleur has more influence or not? I mean, he's not making a pick, but I know a lot of organizations, they have a collaboration, right? You look in different places. The head coach can talk to the GM, and they decide what they're going to do. GM makes the final decision. A lot more influence. Do you get a feel that Matt LaFleur has a little bit more influence of saying, hey, this is who I think will fit the offense, and then Goody takes that into consideration a little bit more?
Kyle, you know I love you. I love you like my black brother.
Yes,
you always,
white brother.
You always make sure that I'm a little cooler than I actually am. I am not falling for this again. I've already done this once. It's ended up on social media.
Oh, did it?
I got an apology from Alex Strolf recently because he said it was his idea to put it out there. But the last time we talked about this, and I said, yeah, I don't think there's, you know, that much of collaboration. The Twitter feed. I stand by what I said then.
Okay, well, I'll say this. Well, because
real quick, I gave you a shout out here. Because -196, real fruit frozen at -196 Celsius, crushed and infused into vodka, perfect for draft week in Green Bay. Ultimate refreshment starts here. Please drink responsibly as Jason Woodley joins us on Kyle Bruston.
Well, let me change up this conversation then, because I really
thank you for
interested,
your service.
Of course, on your opinion on this. What this first round draft history of the Green Bay Packers tells me is we're going to find our franchise quarterback, Favre, Rodgers, and we are going to then focus on the defense, thinking that quarterback is going to elevate everybody else. So we're going to actively give him less help, and we're going to focus on the defense because we think he's that good. Is that fair treatment for Jordan Love?
Actively giving him less help feels a little strong, but I get your point because you're
calling
out the first round.
Is it fair to treat Love like how Favre and Rodgers have been treated, saying they're going to elevate everybody else? Is it fair to let that continue with Jordan Love when he's not Favre or Rodgers, at least
no,
not yet?
No, and I think it's a really, really good point. Now, the devil's advocate argument is, well, if we have a defense that – remember, they were fifth in total defense, sixth in scoring defense, and that was with a pass rush that they had to conjure up with smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get, you know, again, I'm fascinated by Shamar Stewart because of his RAS score and how at one end of the – he's at one end of the spectrum with his RAS score at 9.99, which, again, my favorite from this week was Goody saying that he didn't know what it was and doesn't use it, and then in the very next breath saying, well, we have our own. So you know what it is. You just don't call it that.
The GAS score.
So there's that was with you. I talked about that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we came up with GAS score. So there's that end of him, and then at the other end, there's one and a half sacks each of his 3 years. He's got 4.5 career sacks in 3 years at Texas A&M.
That's unbelievable.
I just want people to understand that is so unproductive for what position that he played. But
and I was talking to somebody who works in the league last night, and their line was, if you watch him on tape, he is a freak. Now, again, is his instinct and awareness where it needs to be? Clearly not, because otherwise he'd have more production. But my point is that if you're trying to help Jordan Love win, maybe making your defense better is a indirect but still really important way to help him win.
Okay.
That is me playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I would rather have the investment at wide receiver. And look, in fairness to Goody, there has been investment. But, you know, they traded two second-round picks to go up to the top of the second round to draft Christian Watson 3 years ago.
Didn't work out.
Right? I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. Finally starting to come around last year, and then he blows out his ACL in a game he shouldn't even been playing in. They spent a second-round pick on Jaden Reed. Led them in receiving both catches and yards the last 2 years, but I think even Jaden Reed would say, well, look at what I did in the second half of last season. I wasn't productive. So they have made investments, but it's not like I know for a fact that in 2020, when the Minnesota Vikings picked Justin Jefferson, everybody and their brother was like, oh, my God, I can't believe they got him at 22.
Yeah.
And the Packers have not had that. And that was before he became what he's become. The Packers have not had that, right? Yeah. They haven't had that wide receiver where you were like, wow. Like, there are very few of them, right? Randy Moss in 98, et cetera. But, man, if you invest a first-round pick, it doesn't always work. But very rarely are they just like the Johnny Manziel-type draft pick where you're like, oh, my God, that was one of the most – stupid mistakes I could have made as a GM.
How did you feel as Jason Woodley's here with us just for a little bit longer here on Kyle Bruston Nortman when Goody quickly responded to the question about a first-round pick needing to make an immediate impact? He said no. He gave some qualifiers about opportunity.
Not on the KBN Twitter feed he did not give some qualifiers. I enjoyed the graphic where it said
no.
It asked the question, and the only quote is no.
You think we make those decisions on social media? We have a bigger team now. We're now learning what you maybe have some gripes about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My point is the way in the qualifiers that he was talking about, it depends on opportunity. There are some spots, or even if the guy is talented enough in the first round, that if you're talented enough, you can find your way onto the field.
Sure. And look, I think as much as I am a Keyshawn Nixon believer, because
here's CB1?
I think he's a starter.
Okay.
Right? Mm. And I think he's a guy who has proven at every turn. He goes from Vegas, where he was really did nothing other than like coverage teams on special teams. He comes here, he's a kick returner halfway through his first season. Then he's their slot guy. Then he's an outside corner for Halfley. And look, was he perfect? No. But he was a pretty good outside corner last year. They really like Carrington Valentine. But if they take the Kentucky corner in
Maxwell
this,
in Hairston
today, hey, he should walk in and be a starter. That mm-hmm. That's fair to expect that. Mm-hmm. But if you draft a wide receiver or you go up to draft a wide receiver in the first round, it's fair to expect that that guy is going to be required to have an impact right away. But there's other ways. If they draft another offensive lineman, like we just talked about with 96-97 or 10 and 11 with Bulaga in 10 and Derek Sherrod in 11, doesn't necessarily mean he has to play right away, right?
But are you in that position?
Right? Well, what about a linebacker, like or a safe? Like, let's say the best player available is the safety from South Carolina, Emin Wari. Like, he's an athletic freak. It's like the one position on their roster where I would say they have zero room for another player.
Yes. I would say pass. No
right,
matter
a
how
trade
about,
back yeah. if you can.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. 100%.
So, I know the way he said that got a lot of attention, and I understand why. But if you look at last season, there were rookies. They weren't the first-round pick. But Edger and Cooper emerging kind of one-third of the way through the season. Evan Williams earning a starting spot as the fourth-round pick with another safety who was drafted ahead of him in Javon Bullard.
Who's not – just anything that, you know.
So don't get hung. My point is, don't get hung up on the draft pick per se, like what number, if he's a first rounder.
The thing
but
is,
you need rookies
more,
to
it's
contribute.
It's more likely that there's an opportunity for them to contribute right away if they're in the first
if
round.
If they're picked at the right position and picked in the first round,
fair
I would
enough.
Agree.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, I guess my biggest gripe is I just, at this point.
You got a lot of gripes.
I do have a, I have a lot of first round gripes. I have a lot of first round gripes. After the
he
first
records
round.
Himself over the last 10 years of every pick. When they pick Kenny Clark, ah!
I wanted somebody else.
Wait, we have video of his reaction?
I have video of the Kenny Clark pick. I like the Daytone Jones pick. That didn't work out.
You nailed that one.
Yeah, that did not work out for the Green Bay Packers.
Did you know? Did you know about Elliott Wolff's story with Kyle?
I don't know.
Listen to this.
Did I tell
Listen
you this
to
one?
This one.
I'm all ears.
Oh, yeah. So back when I was in college at Central Michigan University, shout out to the Brunner family. You probably know the Brunner family, well, at least in Wisconsin football. Legend Dan Brunner was overseeing the WFCA, I think it is, or whatever it is, WIA. And so, you know, as I go to Central Michigan University, Brian Brunner is son. I'm working with him as an intern. And I say, hey, I've been interested in trying to get into football and NFL type stuff. He said, oh, I have a connection with Elliott Wolff of the Green Bay Packers. I can get you guys connected. So I said, great. So I email. He got us connected via email, and I emailed Elliott Wolff, and I sent him my resume. And he said, cool, thank you. I'll get back to you. And he told me, hey, we don't have any room this year, but email me next year. So I said, okay. And so I emailed him the following year, and he also got back to me and said, we don't have anything. But
could you imagine Kyle Wallace as an ascending scout underneath Elliott Wolff?
Jason, that would have been so good. That would have been so good.
Let Jason be the judge.
Jason, I got in my notes. I showed them. David Bakhtiari, that year they drafted him. They saw
my
notes.
You could have been the James Gladstone, who's the GM of the Jaguars,
right.
34
right.
years old. That could be you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would have been ready for that yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at you right now at age, 34, 35.
Oh, that's a great draft jacket.
Thank you, draft jacket.
Is it a first-round jacket or a third-round jacket?
No, that's like a top five pick.
I
would just say this. What I've learned about scouts, and look, they're all humans. They're not robots. But you're a little bit emotional. And they really withdraw that aspect of it. That would be your challenge.
One of the fairest things I've ever heard in my life.
That's true.
Jason,
I'm very emotional.
We appreciate the time. I look forward to talking a lot with you up in our live program here coming up around 6 o'clock.
I look forward to them picking a player so we could stop talking about all the guys they might pick. And say, okay, here's who they picked. How do you feel about it?
Did you say who your guy is? Did he tell us that?
I'm McMillan all the way. And then I'm Shamar Stewart after that.
Okay.
And after that, I do like Hairston. I the idea of having two guys from Kentucky, because I like Carrington Valentine a lot. I know Strove spent some time with him I love his confidence. He's such a confident cat. So
you got to have that confidence if you're a seventh rounder making a true impact on a winning football.
But again, another example: seventh round pick, 14 game starter as a rookie.
I mean, that's impressive.
Look, don't necessarily assume it has to be the guy that's getting the most money or the highest notoriety.
Doesn't have to be, but it could help if you land one of these.
Yeah. Not if you pick the wrong guy, it won't be.
Yeah. That's true. Jason, thank you.
Happy to do it.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. Want to give a shout out to the folks that are taking care of our lawns. That's Weed Man. We had Weed Man Wednesday yesterday. They came to the Nortman Estate. Mm. They've came to Kyle's house.
They sure did.
They came to my house. Not estates. They didn't have the whole system to ride around and do the whole yard, but they took care of us. Kid and pet friendly. Golf course quality fertilizer, effective weed control, part of that winning game plan. Get a free quote by going to weedman.com and get 50% off your first treatment, half off at weedman.com. I am going to say goodbye, fellas.
Oh, what? Where are you going?
I love you all.
Where are you going?
That's for me to know and for you to find out.
Oh man. You're leaving us just like Strofe's always leaving us.
Evan Cohen looks like he's ready to join again.
You two are
K-E-N, coming back at you.
Yeah, for real. Really just Kyle, Nortman, and Wollersheim.
Wooly.
Got a date yet?
I saw him macking earlier today, actually.
Ooh,
yeah.
Macking.
Yeah, I was going
got them business cards out?
Okay.
More next.